Okay, we'd like to thank Karen and Jake Abelovitz for sponsoring this morning's Locks and Learn. Le'iloi Nishmas, Jake's beloved parents, Eliyahu ben Abba and Leah Bas Avram, and Karen's brother Yeshua ben Shimon Dov, the Neshama should have an Aliyah. We're starting a new parak. We are starting the fourth parak. The first mission of the fourth parak is a famous Mishnah, and it redefines a bunch of terms that we may have thought we would have to define otherwise. We will start with the beginning. Ben Zoma Omer. Ben Zoma says, who is Ben Zoma? We will address in a moment. Ezehu Chacham. Who is wise? Halomed Mikol Adam. Somebody who learns from everybody. Shenemar Mikom Lamdai Skalti Ke Edosecha Sichali. So we have a concept and then we have a proof text, a pasuk from Tehillim. I have learned from all of my I've acquired understanding from all of my teachers because your testimonies, God, your teachings, I speak of. And the question that we're going to address, we're not going to go through all of them now. We're going to do future weeks. We're going to do each term. This week, we're just focusing on wisdom. So let's stop and analyze for a second. And if I was to ask you, what is wisdom, what would your answer be? The ability to use knowledge, I like that. Anybody else? Wisdom.
To reason.
To ability to reason, those are two different explanations. So my ability to think, to reason, my ability to apply the knowledge. Anybody else? What would wisdom mean?
Between right and wrong.
Okay, maybe a moral reasoning, knowing the difference between right and wrong. Good, that's another good explanation. Not anything else? What else would wisdom? Okay, so Rabbi Shiloni is already getting into the explanation of the Mishnah. To know that I know not as much as I think I know, or to know that I there is more than I need to learn. Good, but before we get to the Mishnah, right? Without thinking sort of creatively, if we just thought about wisdom, what would you say?
Is it experiential?
Maybe experiential, something I've learned, maybe something I know how to do, how to apply, a skill, right?
A little bit of seichel in there.
A little bit of seichel and intelligence.
Someone who uses his knowledge in a positive way.
Okay, knowledge in a positive way to affect good. Okay, good. Anything else? Okay. So what about nobody said something that I thought you would say? Okay, smart is, it would be a synonym, right? But what about...
That's something that's acquired with age.
Okay, so wisdom's related to age. When I get older, there's some sort of life lesson, some life experience that's involved in how I'm thinking. Okay, so I like all of these.
What about the Chacham in Pesach? He's a young guy, I think, because he's a son.
Okay, so the Chacham isn't... Right, so the Chacham there isn't... And we translate Chacham as wise. So wisdom, maybe wisdom is not the direct translation, but we do call him the wise son. So wise doesn't necessarily have to be related to age. So good, I like all of this. There's one thing that I think is glaringly missing from what everybody said. Barbara is making hamotzi, and then she will enlighten us with her wisdom. So think about it for a second. I want, Barry, I'm going to need your help for a second. We've spoken about this in the past. We're going to get to it in the end of our source sheets as well. But remember, we've spoken about what does it mean to be a chacham in terms of who do you want to, let's say, lead your academy? Who do you want to lead your base medrash? Remember, we had two different paradigms of people. Who are two different paradigms of people who would lead your base medrash? Your Oker Harim, which is, I believe somebody said, your ability to reason. Right, somebody who can analyze. So Okara means to uproot mountains. Somebody who has a deep intellectual, cunning analysis, etc. But what's the other one? The Sinai, right? So the board's the same idea. Somebody who has a deep knowledge of information. So if I was paying attention and my memory, which we did not define as wisdom, but if my memory was correct, nobody said anything about a deep source of knowledge. Nobody translated. That's what you would have said. You got to chew quicker. Acquisition of knowledge. Good. So just to recap what we have so far, we can define. Okay, so we can define on a broad level without getting too. You know, there's lots of synonyms here. Without getting too much into looking for other words to use, but if we can define chacham, gut reaction. We have reason, we have experience, we have application, we have right and wrong, we have acquired knowledge, we have your knowledge in order to be able to do good. I think I covered most of them, I might be missing one. But that is not what the Mishnah says, right? So the Mishnah says, Ezehu chacham halomed mikol adam. Somebody who learns from everybody. So my question and our question that we're going to have to deal with today is, what does that mean? Right? I could explain the words, I'm learning from everybody, but what is the Mishnah coming to teach us that is fundamentally different than the other definitions of wisdom that we have already, that we are already stating? I'm learning from everybody. What does learning from everybody add to my definition of what wisdom is? So we're going to go through. Do I want to take answers now? Let's go with it. You'll probably steal some of the thunder later on. So what do you say? What does it add?
Something's coming from the external, from somebody else. These things are within yourself, or you're doing it.
Okay, so maybe you're learning for externals. Okay, good. So that's, you're adding the external to it. Yeah? Okay, so there's we're going to have to develop that a little bit more. So there's more out there than I know. It gets back to our Bishiloni sort of defined before, is that I know that there's a lot that I don't know, right? So maybe that's an element of wisdom, and I'm looking to other people to learn. What else? Give me another, give me a character trait. What is that? Okay, so he's not getting involved with problems, and okay, good, yeah.
Humility,
good. That's what I was looking for, right? So humility, and we'll see this in more detail. Humility, I'm willing to learn from anybody, no matter what they bring to the table. Perhaps there's something deeper to that too, but we're adding a character trait of humility to learning. In Judaism, according to this understanding, chachma isn't just how much knowledge you have, or how your ability to reason. It's your ability to have humility in connection with that wisdom. We're going to see other explanations, but I think that that would be a good way of explaining it. So let's delve in, let's jump in. And in order to start, you know what, we'll see that humility first. So flip the page, we'll come back to the other idea. But since you said humility, we'll jump off of that. Source number 5, the Rabbi Ovadia Mibar Tanura says as follows. First source on the second side of the page, source number 5, Ben Zoma. So number 1, who was Ben Zoma? So no, we're not doing a complete biography, but a little snippet about who he was. Notice, what's his first name?
Ben.
So Ben wasn't his, Benjamin, you know, was not his first name. He's the son of Zoma. So why doesn't he have a first name? So look at Rav Avadia Bar Tanura. Ben Zoma, lefi shelo ha'arich yamim velo nismach sheyikra Rebbe. So the Bar Tanura argues it's because he did not have a long life. He had a shortened life, and because of that, he never got to the place where he was called Rabbi Ben Zoma, or Rabbi, we still don't know his first name, Ben Zoma. So number one is that he didn't have a long life, never got smicha, if you will, never had a congregation. So hayu korin oso al shem aviv. So they called him by his father. You know, when you're a kid, you call, you know, like you say, when you call somebody by their last name, you know, it's like Schiffman, right? So what are you saying?
Girls,
so
just call, don't do that.
Girls don't do it. So that's what you do. Then eventually you get older, and then people sort of develop that, call you by your first name, give you that. Maybe it's an element of respect or an element of intimacy in the relationship. But in the beginning, when you're younger, it's more cute. You call by the father's name.
Ben Yishai,
right? Well, that was more of a disgraceful, disgraceful thing. So that's not what we're getting to here, right? V'chen ben Azai v'shneim shmam Shimon. So we'll see soon we're going to have other Mishnayos with Ben Azai. Same question, why do they call him Ben Azai and not, you know, ex-Ben Azai? Same idea, he died early, wasn't considered a Rebbe. And now, for the moment of truth, what were their, both of them had the same first name, Shimon. So it was Shimon ben Zoma, Shimon ben Azai, and some commentators say that because of that, because they all had the same first name, that's why they got called by their last name. Because if you said Shimon, Are you talking about Ben Azai? Are you talking about Ben Zoma? Are you talking about Ben Pazi? Are you talking about which guy? So you got to say the last name to distinguish between Shimon 1 and Shimon 2. We just call you by your last name. Fine. So that's Ben Zoma. So what is Chacham? So Ezu Chacham, Hachi Kamar. This is what it means to say. Ezehu Chacham Shira'ui Shiyas Halel B'Chachmaso. What is considered wisdom that is worthy of praise? Right. So Yirmiyahu tells us that what is wisdom that a person should not be praised for his wisdom. So the Mishnah, according to Rav Avi Bartanur, is saying that there is some content in wisdom that you could be praised for. It's not being smart. It's not having intelligence. What part of wisdom can you be praised for? That's that you're halomed mikol adam. What does it mean, halomed mikol adam? Third line in source number 5. Va'af al pishu kata mimenu. That's the addition that's important. Even though the person who you're learning from is younger, smaller, less knowledgeable, I'm still learning from them. Shekevan she'eno chasal kvodo. Since I don't care about my own glory, v'lomed min aktanim, I'm learning from people who are, again, let's just define it as younger. Nikar madram shechachmasu hu l'shem shamayim. What does that teach? That shows that the reason why I want to be wise is l'shem shamayim, for the sake of heaven. V'lo lehit yaher ulit paher ba. Right? It's not because I want to look so smart and so look at me, I'm so great, I'm so awesome, I know so much. If the reason why I want to learn is because I want to prove that I'm so smart, that's not praiseworthy. We don't care about that. You want to prove that your wisdom is worthwhile, have humility, show that you're willing to learn from anybody, even if they're katan from you, even if they're younger than you, and that proves that your wisdom is worthwhile. And then just to finish off, the Bartanura tells us that's what the pasuk that is quoted in the Mishnah tells us. Shene'emar mikom alamdai hiskalti. V'sefa dekra ki edosecha sichali. Kolomar, hayisi lo metor mikom alamda. I learn from all of my teachers, from anybody who's willing to teach me anything. V'afilu minaktan, even if they're younger than me. V'lo hayisi choshesh l'chvodi, and I'm not worried about my own honor. Ki edosecha sichali, shekol kavanasi haysa l'shamayim bolvad. My whole purpose of learning is for the sake of heaven. So we have here, it's actually more complex than just saying humility. It's humility, meaning that I'm not arrogant, but more important than that is that what does that prove? That I'm doing it? L'shem Shemayim. I'm doing it for the sake of heaven. That's the reason why I am learning. That's the reason why I want to know. But now we have to analyze this a little bit more. So he just said, I'm learning from Ketanim. Who else can I learn from that might be counterintuitive? That's not counterintuitive, right? I would assume I can learn from Zakenim, maybe depending on how we treat Zakenim, right? But who else would be a problem category? How expansive are we saying that I'm learning from everybody? No, women are not a problem category. What? Okay, non-Jews maybe. Okay, somebody who's a heretic, right? Does this mean that I'm supposed to learn from everybody? Even people who are problematic in their wisdom. Okay, philosophers. Am I supposed to learn from philosophers? Right, so I want you now flip back to the first page. So I'm not, if you look in the, it's source number 2, even though it doesn't have a 2 next to it, and I didn't tell you where this is from. If you desperately want to know where it's from, you could figure it out by looking through various Pirkei Avos books. And finding it. But I didn't quote it to you because it's not important, because I'm going to critique it. It's not a huge critique. It's not like mind-boggling critique. But just because it's not, the purpose of who's writing it is not important, we're just going to read it. And again, if you want to find it, you can find it. So this is what he comments on this. Maybe it's a she. I don't know. I don't want to give it away. He or she comments on this Mishnah. So he starts, how different Torah values are from secular values. If you ask the average person, and we consider it to be the wisest people in the world, he would probably cite the Nobel Prize winners, heads of departments of the great colleges, or authors of major works in philosophy or the sciences. These are people who essentially function as dispensers of knowledge to the world. If he were asked to list the mightiest people, he would probably name those who rule over large populations and have powerful armies, or perhaps the heads of corporations who control large segments of industry and can affect the lives of millions. If he were asked to name the wealthiest people, he's alluding to the future parts of the Mishnah, which we're not doing yet, he would refer to the list of published annually in the Fortune magazine. And if he were asked who were the most respectable people, he would cite those who received prominent recognition and rewards, or who were given honorary degrees by prestigious universities. Torah values are much different. The wise person is not the one who dispenses knowledge, but one who seeks to acquire knowledge. The mighty person, etc. I'll go to the next paragraph. What a different world it would be if people abided by Torah values. How much happier would we be if our aspirations were those of this Mishnah rather than those that prevail in society? So here's my critique. Doesn't sound so crazy, but my critique is why we, this happens a lot. People just make this blanket category of secular society, put it down, and then say, look how awesome Torah is. Now, I love Torah, and I think Torah is awesome. But we don't have to put down this vague, quote-unquote, secular society in order to say, look how great Torah is. And I'm gonna bring that home point home even clearer if you look at the next source. So this next source is Rabbeinu Yonah. Rabbeinu Yonah, we quote him often, one of the famous commentators on the Mishnah. Look what he says about Ezu Chacham. So Ben Zoma Emer Ezu Chacham Haloman Mikol Adam. So Amru, look who he's quoting. Amru Chachme Ha'umos. Ki Hayodea Kol HaChachmos Im Eino Ohev HaChachma Eino Chacham. So there's two very important things here. Number one is he's giving us an explanation of wisdom. He's giving us an explanation of wisdom which we did not see yet explicitly. What's his definition of wisdom? Ohev HaChachma. Wisdom is loving wisdom. Loving wisdom. Nobody mentioned that so far. It's not the same thing as humility. It's a drive. It's a passion. It's I want to acquire more and more and more. I love wisdom. But look who he quotes. He's basing his whole definition of this Mishnah of Ben Zoma from Chachmei Ha'umos, the wise people from other nations. That's how he understands Ben Zoma. Keep going. Right? So if I only think, right, I'm not considered wise unless I love wisdom. If I don't love wisdom, I'm not a Chacham. Ela Tipeshu. Acher She'eno Oev Chachma, Ki Hu Adas. You don't like Chachma, you don't want Chachma, you don't try to get Chachma, then that's considered foolish. Ah. Somebody who loves it and desires it and strives after it. He doesn't even know anything. No acquired knowledge. Can't analyze. But he loves wisdom. He wishes he knew more. That is the definition, according to Rabbeinu Yonah, based on the Chachmei Ha'umos, of people who love wisdom. He will eventually, hopefully, get to what true wisdom is, and true wisdom is the love of knowledge. That's what the essence is. And this is what Ben Zoma means, that I'm learning from everybody. I love wisdom so much. It's not just that I'm learning from them. It's not that just they're teaching it to me and I'm so humble that I'm willing to do it. I'm going out of my way to ask people. I know one guy. He only knows one thing. I'm going to go out of my way to ask him about that thing. I want to know what he knows about that level of expertise that he has. I'm going to learn from that. And that's going to help him be successful. And that's what wise means. I'm going to learn from anybody, even if they don't know as much as me, and I'm going to go out of my way to learn from them because I love learning so much. So two important things that come out from the Rabbeinu Yonah. Number one, wisdom is love of wisdom. And because I love wisdom, I don't care where it comes from. And because of that, I'm going to say that he doesn't just mean to learn from somebody, the humility element of learning from somebody who's a katan, who's less than you. Perhaps he would argue, you know, sort of like what the Rambam would say, I learn from whoever can teach me something. Right? And we're going to get to somebody like Acher, somebody who is a teacher who went off the derech, if you will. Can I learn from somebody who's a heretic? We're going to get that. We're going to develop that. But as a starting point, the answer would be, if there's some wisdom to be taught to me, then I'm going to learn from that. And I think that takes a whole different view. Why are we putting down secular values? Right? The whole point of the Mishnah is to look for the good in secular values. I'm not saying all secular values are good. And I'm not saying that we should learn everything from secular values. But this point, this Mishnah, I would not say is my jumping off point to start giving a drasha on why Torah is awesome and secular values stink. I would say this is the Mishnah that tells us that let's look for the good in secular values, and like Rabbeinu Yonah does, even interpret that this is what the Mishnah means, to call out from a secular source to say that this is what loving wisdom means. And I showed you in source number 4, there's so much I could have pulled from here, but this was the easiest one to access. It's from the Stanford Library online, sydney.edu. It says here, the word philosophy, what does philosophy mean?
Love
of wisdom. That's what philosophy means. Love of wisdom. And this article talks about what is wisdom. What is this thing that philosophers love? Some of the systematic philosophers of the past have taken on the subject with great seriousness. Unfortunately, the topic of wisdom has not received much treatment in the contemporary philosophical literature. This entry will provide a general overview and analysis of some dominant views on the topics of wisdom. It will cover several versions of 4 general approaches to understanding what is wisdom. So he's about to tell us 4 categories that you find in philosophy of how to define wisdom. What's the first explanation of what wisdom means? Wisdom is epistemic humility. It's knowing that I don't, aware that I don't know enough, right? Epistemology is the study of where knowledge comes from, right? So epistemic humility, knowing that I don't know enough. And you know where that's from? That's from Socrates. Right? So even our explanation, besides for the explanation of love of wisdom, which comes from, according to Rabbeinu Yonah, the Chachmei Ha'umos, which is the definition of what philosophy means, we have even already in Socrates, which predates this Mishnah, I'm not saying that means that the Mishnah got it from him per se, but it doesn't matter. They're parallel thoughts that could be in secular world, that could be in the Jewish world, they're both true. And the concept, even that humility is the definition of wisdom, is already found in philosophy. So this is a time where we should look for other sources to learn from, not to put down and not to step on to say, look how great Judaism is. Yes, Judaism's great, but so you can find things in other philosophies as well that can teach us lessons, and that's the point, I think, of the Mishnah. We're not done, we have more points, but yeah. As long as 100%, right? Again, I'm not saying take everything from secular society. There are things in secular society that we can't take from, but that's dangerous, and we have to be careful. And we'll talk about that danger in the context of learning from somebody who's a heretic in a moment. But my starting point is that it's not black and white. It's not a blanket statement. Let's denigrate secular society. No, let's look for good things that can help us learn and become better because of it. Now, look in source numbers. Let's go to 10, only because it's the way that the shir is developing with the comments. I think 10 is the natural follow-up. So 10 talks about learning from Elisha ben Avuya. The source number 10 is the Divrei Avos, Avram Dov ben Asher, Anshel Warman, of Buchach. So he writes, I think it's the first time we're quoting him, 18th, 19th century. So he writes as follows. He addresses this question, does this mean that I should learn from even people who are heretics? So Ben Zoma Omer, Ezu Chacham Haloman Bikol Adam, Shenamar Bikol Malamda Yiskalti, Hainu, Kerebi Meir. Right? So Rebbe Meir was the student of Elisha ben Avuya Acher, who was the paradigmatic heretic. So Shalama Torah Mipi Acher, Shagam Shahaya Chashash Netia Laminus Chas V'Shalom, even though there was a chance that Acher would teach him something, there would be something that would be inappropriate to learn. So Acher had his heretical books, in his pockets. So Meir had the ability to take the good and throw away the bad. Right? And he was able to reveal the kernels of truth that were within the teachings of Acher. And what the Divrei Avos goes and elaborates on, I won't read it inside for the sake of time, but the main point is that if you have the capability to do such a thing, right, so the question is you have to have the humility to know if you actually have the capability to do such a thing, but if you have the capability to be able to take what's bad and throw it away and take what's good and learn from it, then this is something that you should do. Whether or not you, me, or the person next to us has that capability, okay, we can talk about in private if this is something that I should be doing. Should I be reading everything out there in the secular world in order to be able to take out the good? Maybe I need somebody who is like a Rebbe Meir to sort of filter it out for me. But the point is that he's saying that this Mishnah is going like Rebbe Meir, meaning that the Mishnah's message is to learn from everybody. I don't care who they are. It's not just a lesson in humility. It's not just a lesson that they're younger than you, that they know less than you. It's you're going to learn even from people who have their problems. If you're able to filter it out properly, then you should learn from them too. There's wisdom to be had and to be learned from every single person. Yeah?
Can you give me an example? I'm having a hard time trying to get an example of what exactly it is that Rav Meir could have learned from out there and the ability to separate. Okay, so maybe we all have that ability to separate, but we also, I don't want to speak about everybody, but having gone to a particular kind of yeshiva where the idea was you cannot learn from everyone, which is an exact contradiction to what we just said here.
Well, not an exact contradiction, but in theory an exact contradiction. In practice, that yeshiva might say that we don't know how to do it well, perhaps. Or it could be a deeper philosophical point that they would say, we don't agree with this concept and we don't learn at all from secular people because of X, Y, or Z. What would be a concept? So now it's already in Judaism, so I don't know, but is this concept of love of wisdom... Right? Would I say that that's something that's a Torah concept? Now, inherently, my gut would say yes. But do we see it anywhere explicitly? You'd have to say, okay, so I have to look in philosophy, I have to look in Judaism and see, is it in Judaism, is it not? It's a bad example, but there's tons of examples. There's tons of things that, because secular wisdom, things that you learn from the outside. What have you learned from any college professor? Maybe sciences. Right? So anything not Torah, if it has wisdom, value, meaning to it, can I learn that? So the answer is either yes, 100%, you should learn that, because it's important and it teaches us how to get good character, how it teaches us to get better interpersonal relationships or whatever. Therapy, right? So where does this therapy come from? Well, it comes from some secular philosopher. So what are you doing it for? Just open up a Chumash and read Chumash. Right, so can I learn from a non-Jewish or secular therapist who created some level of therapy to help people become better? Or as I know, just Torah. So I think there's plenty of more examples. It's anything that's not firmly rooted in Torah, do I open up to go and look for more of them? Okay, so, yeah.
What was the other mission that we dealt with this within the secular knowledge? We've discussed this already.
So secular knowledge comes up a lot. It's a recurring theme. It has to. Where else did we see it? Where else did we see secular knowledge?
About being able, like, where does all the knowledge come from? Is it all divine? We spoke about.
Yeah. So it comes with Torah and Derech Eretz, right? So Torah and Derech Eretz is that discussion. We spoke about it when it comes to what Pesach Kron actually referenced yesterday, the Mishnah of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, where he tells his students su ur u, go out and see ezu derech shiyavar lo adam. What do you mean su ur u? Go out and see what the right path is. Look in a chumash and see what the right path is. So what is this being observant of the world and looking at and learning things from the outside world? So it comes up. It's a recurring theme within Perkei Avos. Yeah. Okay, good. So let's keep going. So far we've seen humility. So far we've seen love of wisdom, and in the background we have a discussion about whether or not it's appropriate, or even the opposite would be we should learn from outside sources, secular sources, if there is value. If there's opposite value, then we have to throw that away. And if we can take out the kernel that's true, that would be appropriate to do. So let's look at source number... let's look at source number 9. We'll just get it out of the way because it's a quick one and I alluded to before. Remember, we had the discussion about Sinai versus Ochr Haram. What's better, to have the in-depth analysis or the knowledge, right? Do I want in-depth analysis as a leader of a Rosh Hashiva? Do I want him to be able to analyze to the, split hairs and get to the kernel of exactly what we're talking about? Or would I rather have that Rosh Hashiva or head of school be knowledgeable in many different areas, have a great memory, know all the teachings? We alluded to it a few minutes before you came. Ochram's to uproot mountains. It's a metaphor for being able to analyze. Sinai is somebody who has the rooted knowledge. Okaharim is the analysis. So look at source number 9, the base Abbas of Chaim Palagi. Again, I think it's the first time we're quoting him too, 18th century Turkish rabbi. He says, Inam izel kabana satana ezu chacham. He says that, what does it mean, Ezu Chacham Halomed Mikol Adam? So he says, we have two categories. We have Shnei Beis Minei Chachamim, Hainu Misha Oker Harm, the Sinai, to either have the uprooter the analyzer, or we have the person who has the memory, who has all the knowledge, the crystallized intelligence. Shalomba mi'achirim ha'alachos. So lezeh omer ha'lomen mikol adam. So he argues that ha'lomen mikol adam is coming to tell us that which one is better? The Sinai. He equates Sinai, the knowledge, with lomed mikol adam, that I'm able to learn from everybody, take from everybody, acquire knowledge from everybody, gather information from everybody. So he says that that proves that Ben Zoma thinks that the acquired knowledge, the breadth of knowledge, is more important than the analysis. Okay, so that's his reading of Lomen Mikol Adam. It's that I'm learning from, it's sort of like a metaphor for amassing knowledge of breadth. Yeah. Right, so I think that's a good way of putting it, that we should be looking for divine messages. We should be looking to learn from everything. We should be looking to, even inanimate objects, even from animals, even from anybody, even from babies, even there should be some level, and it's a personality trait. And I think it's a good way of sort of encapsulating, I might have done this at the end, but I think we'll do it now. This is a good way of encapsulating what this mission is teaching us. It's to inculcate a personality trait of what does it mean to be wise? To be on the lookout, to have our antennas up, to have our radars up, that everything we encounter, everybody we encounter, every situation we encounter, there's something positive to learn from it. There's something positive to learn from it.
Why do they have to be mutually exclusive, number one? And number
what
two,
is what have to be mutually
exclusive? The Okar Haram and the learning in depth.
They don't have to be, but it's...
They recognize that these two types of learners exist.
Right, it's like learning styles. So that apparently it was very pronounced, at least back then, that the way that people developed their learning styles, possibly on purpose, not just in innate intelligence. It could be there in different schools of thought. The school of thought was, let me teach you as much information as possible. That's you went to school A. And the other school says, I don't care about information. I care about analysis. Then you went to school B. Right? And maybe there's, Chaim would have started school C, where you did a little bit of both. Right? Okay, good. So let's keep going. Look at source number 6. Look at source number 6. So the Medrash Shmuel ties us into another broad running theme that we've had in the past, and that is, once we're talking about intelligence, right, so what's another question that we have whenever we talk about intelligence? Anybody, this is a hard one.
The innate intelligence versus... Okay.
So innate intelligence versus gains, or how much of intelligence is biological versus how much is learned. So is it nature versus nurture? Is my ability to have, is intelligence something that's innate, that's given to me, or is it something that I develop? So look at the Medrash Shmuel. He frames this in a fascinating way. So he says, "Ve'efshar," source number 6, "Hakavana lefisha amruzal, ki HaKadosh Baruch Hu gozer al tipa mate ale achacham otipesh." So we do have a source in the Gemara that says that God predetermines, it's genetically, if you will, you want to use that language, predetermined by God, whether or not you will be smart or foolish. Right? So what choice do I have? If I'm foolish, I'm foolish. I can't improve it. That was God's choice. So the Medrash Shmuel... So the Medrash Shmuel says as follows: "Ve'efshar shiomar adam ki oso shenigzar alav shayachacham yasigah chachma b'lo'acher." So I can say, "Listen, that guy's smart because God made him smart." Lezeh amar atana. That's why the Mishnah is coming to teach us. Don't misunderstand it. Ezu chacham halomen mikol adam. We're not talking about wisdom of innate intelligence, of high IQ. That's not what we care about. What do we care about? We care about whether or not you can learn from everybody, and that is not innate. That is a skill that you could acquire. Vafim nigzar alav be'es yitzirasu she'et tipesh. Even if God, it's hard for us to understand such a thing, but even if God, said, you will be foolish. Im hu yaga b'tor v'lama mikol adam. If you try hard and you learn from everybody, yechacham, then you can overcome that divine stamp of foolishness and become wise. Ki agata v'lo matzata al tamin, shenemar mikom lamdai iskalti, kolomar misibas kom lamdai v'rabosai shlamati mem. Because I learned from everybody, iskalti v'nishakamti, I became smart, I became wise, l'fishi agati tamin, because I tried hard, I had grit, and I persevered. So basically what he, the way the Medrash Shmuel is actually another explanation of what is our Mishnah telling us, what does being wise mean? Being wise means that I have to try hard and learn from everybody. So learning from everybody is not humility. Learning from everybody is not love of wisdom. Learning from everybody is yagia, grit, perseverance, trying hard, effort. That's what it means to learn from everybody.
Yeah. Some
say it again.
Character trait.
Right, correct. It's a character trait. So character traits are changeable according to this. Even if intelligence you want to say is not changeable, character trait is changeable, humility is changeable, love of learning is changeable, and now we're saying effort, grit, perseverance is changeable, and that's what it means to be a chacham, and that is in your control. Let's do... What time is it?
Five.
Oh, plenty of time. Jake, what's your rush? Okay. Two pages. The copy machine's broken, so we have to do one today. So let's see. We have two more sources. Let's see source number 7, the Beis HaBechira of the Me'iri. So the Me'iri says as follows. So number 1, Benzoma Omer, source number 7, Benzoma Omer, Ezu Chacham Alomen Mikol Adam, Umidechsiv Mikol Malamda Yiskalti, Kolomar, Mikol Echad Mimalamda Yiskalti. I learned from everybody. And he adds in here, I learned from everybody. What does that mean? I'm not arrogant. I'm not midas agayva v'srara. Srara is that I'm overtaking you. I'm overcoming you. Kilomar, heyach ani holech lipnei ploni. I can't learn before that guy. Oma ani tzarech liploni. What do I need that guy for? Achar shani lomen miploni. I learn from the other guy. He's so much better. Ela yelech lo lifnei kol adam. I should go before everybody. Shiyir lo shiematzliach imo bilimudo. That's going to bring you to wisdom. So far, he's basically going with the humility. But now, he tells us two more important things. End of the third line. Umasha amar ezu chacham. What does it mean, who is wise? This is very important. Beginning of the fourth line. Perush al shem sofo. The explanation of who is wise doesn't mean I'm defining wisdom. It means, how do I become wise? Ezehu magia lios chacham. How do I become wise? So how do I become wise? Right. So understand what he's doing here. It's a very nuanced point, but it's important. It's not defining wisdom. It's defining how you get to wisdom. How do you get to wisdom? Learn from everybody. Be humble. That's how you get wisdom. It's a little bit of a different way of approaching it. Not how to define it, but how to get to it. Now, the third point that he makes is a new one. Middle of the fourth line. There is a counterpoint here. The Gemara tells us, and maybe we can intuit this, at a certain point, I shouldn't learn from everybody, not because I'm not humble, and not because I don't love learning, but I'll give you an example. So you get confused, there's too many approaches. When I was in school for my doctorate, so I had a mentor who gave me very good advice. She said, it doesn't matter what therapeutic orientation you choose, just choose one and master it. After that, you can dabble in other things, right? And you can try to be more eclectic, pick from different things. But if you don't know one thing really, really well, and you're just taking a little bit here and a little bit there and a little bit from everybody, then you just become confused. You don't know anything. You don't know anything in depth. So you can say the same thing here. The counter message is that, what do you mean I should learn from everybody? I need a Rebbe. I need somebody who I'm connected to, I learn everything from. So the Meiri makes this point. So he says, Va'af al pi shirabo senu ginu l'mishalama miharbe. The rabbis also teach, they denigrate somebody. They say it's not good to learn from too many people. Kamosha kasa barishon shachun. It's a Gemara in Chulun 18b. Man amar Yosef Archia mikulei alma gamir. So Yosef Archia apparently learned from everybody. Shama Rav Yosef heard that Rav Yosef Archia was learning from everybody. Ikbid. He got upset at him. Amar ani mikulei alma gamir na anamar Rav Yehuda gamir. I don't learn from everybody. I learn from Rav Yehuda. He's my Rebbe. You have to have a Rebbe. You learn from one person. Don't learn from everybody. So Epshar, so this is the Meiri's answer, this is how he reconciles it, end of the third to last line. Epshar shebechachma achas tov shetielo kabbalah mi'echad muvak. This is exactly what my mentor told me. Learn one thing really well from one person. Have a Rebbe muvak for one thing. Ababakan, that's what it means in that Gemara. Here, what's the message? Is Hakavana Shekochach Mayishtada Lalamda Me'amuvak Sheyimsa. So then, but then go and try to learn. Once you master that one thing from that one person, go to the experts in all the other fields to see if you can learn something from them too. V'mira b'mishalamad ezo chachma lufanav shlochachma acheres yimsa bakim imanu yelech achor abafilu shloya enosh karcho. And then if you find somebody you know something better, basically keep pursuing to find the expert to learn from them. But the starting point is, yes, learn most of your stuff first from one person and become an expert in that. Okay, so our final source. It's hard to read. Source number 8, and perhaps it's it's something that speaks too closely to at least to me, but maybe to many of us. The Lachem Yehuda, or Yehuda Lerma, 16th century Spain. I think also the first time we're quoting him. A bunch of new quotes this week. Interprets the Mishnah completely differently. Right? It doesn't mean that. It's a good time to recap. It doesn't mean love of learning. Not that he would disagree that that's true, but that's not what the Mishnah means, love of learning. It doesn't mean humility. It doesn't mean perseverance, right? What does it mean? It means something intellectual. So far, none of our explanations have been intellectual, right? Who is a chacham? Don't give me your intellectual explanations that you all gave me in the beginning. That's nothing to do with intellect. Who is a chacham? He says it does have to do with intellect. So what does that mean? How would I interpret how lomed miko adam as dealing with intellect? So let's try to read it. It's hard print. Source number 8, Lachem Yehuda. So Davar Acher, second word on the first line. Davar Acher, Nir Lanias Daiti, seems to me, and I can explain as follows. Eze hu chacham, who is wise? Mishahu kol kach bal seichel. It's all of a sudden, this is totally different. Say, you're so smart. You're so smart that what can you do? Sheyucho lekabel ulahavin mikol adam. You can learn from everybody. What does that mean? Rotze lomar, afilu mimi she'eno yodea lilamdo. Even from a bad teacher. And we have all had bad teachers. Lefi sheyesh chachamim harbe. They're so smart. There's so many wise people. With all of their wisdom, Einam yodim lalami lachrinim. They don't know how to teach others. Third line, she'einam yodim lasader diburam. They don't know how to organize their thoughts. They don't know how to verbalize, to articulate. Be'inyan she'yushma she'yuvnu. They don't know how to articulate it and organize it in the way that people will understand. Uvein mitzad she'amrinan be'hanaos uve'hakdamos uve'diburim she'ein yochla tamad lekabel kol advarim. They have so many things that they start with, and they get off on tangents, and they have an introduction to an introduction to an introduction before they get to their point. Nobody's paying attention. Nobody's following. They've lost the crowd. They've lost the audience. Chazal warn us, if you're going to teach short and sweet, brief, make it quick. Don't start elaborating, don't start getting too complicated, too nuanced. Again, this is where I probably fail sometimes. But the idea here is that there is an intellectual trait that's important to have if you want to be wise. What is that? That I learn from everybody, even if they're bad teachers. I figured out a way how to sit in that class, and I figured out a way how to take notes, and I figured out a way how to read the book, and I figured out a way how to understand what complicated, abstract metaphor this person was trying to teach me, and that is an intellectual skill that allows me to learn from everybody. So don't blame, not everybody can do it. Again, that's a skill. This is a skill. This is an intellectual skill. So don't blame the teacher per se, even though it would be great if they could do it better. But if you want to excel, figure out a way to understand even what they're saying in their complicated, long-winded ways of saying things.
But this is sort of like learning from the outside. In other words, learning from anyone who at first glance would say, it's impossible, I can't learn from this.
Right, and I think that it brings everything together. What's the personality trait? What's the character trait? What's the intellectual trait? It all comes together, is that I'm looking out at the world and I'm working really, really, really hard to figure out how I can learn from anything.
How can I take a situation, take a person, take a context, and pick the kernel of truth. Pick what's important. Understand how I can learn, how I can love it, how I can follow through, how I can persevere, and then keep going and keep learning and keep striving. That's really what it means to be a chacham. So you're basically, it's not mostly about wisdom. Wisdom's part of it, but it's a small part of it. Being wise requires the character traits, the ancillary personality traits of love of learning, of grit and perseverance, of humility. Without that, you don't have what's considered wisdom. So we will continue next week when we will talk about Ezehu Gibor, who is considered strong, and we will have some very fascinating topics to talk about then as well.